for Yuka, Yuanling, and Yumminess. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 189, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your stretchy, strategizing, stragglers, streaming strange strips and strands about stratosphere and strombolis.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Dana.
And no Chris this week. He couldn't join us for the recording because stuff came up, but we miss him and he'll be back next week. And this episode is brought to you by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is a revolutionary way to get cool prescription or non-prescription glasses that's fun, hassle-free, and super affordable. And Colin, you're wearing a pair.
I'm wearing a pair right now, yeah.
You got your wire glasses.
Kind of my classic, yeah, the half rim. My classic look, the half rim. Sort of the fake transparent on the bottom.
You're not a professor glasses kind of guy. I'm a professor.
Not yet. I might age into that at some point, graduate to the professor style.
There is a style on Warby Parker that's called Colin.
Is it like a thick, chunky style?
Yeah.
I might have to get it just because it's...
It comes in blue, too. Maybe that's too crazy.
Does it say Colin on it?
It'd be cool if we get it, like,
engraved.
That's really personal. Yeah. I might have to get it.
It's like those 2000 and Happy New Year 2001, but it's Colin.
Across the lenses.
Yeah, one of the eyes is the O.
And also, good news for people all over the world who are like me. I call myself a pancake face. It's very flat.
Don't be so hard on yourself. It's moon faced. Yeah, come on.
It's so much more poetic that way. I have a low nose bridge. It's not pronounced. So what happens is when I wear normal glasses, they usually slide off if I don't have the nose pad things.
Got it.
And especially if I'm running, wearing sunglasses and you're sweating, it just like slides right off like
it's
butter.
Over your mouth before you know it.
Yeah, I have to catch it with my mouth. But now Warby Parker has a whole series of low bridge fit glasses and sunglasses for people like me. And maybe some of you guys out there.
But, so smart that they sell them now. So many people in the world have that same nose.
I used to have to buy normal glasses and have to take it to a store and have them add the pads on.
Oh.
Which really like then disrupts the whole look of it, you know. But yeah. I was like, what good are glasses if
they slide off the front of your face?
Yeah.
But now Warby Parker has them in stock. And this is how it works. You go to warbyparker.com. You pick up to 5 glasses frames that you want to try on, and they will ship the sample frames in their at-home try-on kit for you to your house for free. And you try them on, and you decide which one you like, and then you send all of them back, and you order online. You can also upload your prescription info online as well. You can order it there. Their glasses are hip, stylish, brainy. Hopefully, maybe there will be a Dana style and a Karen style and a Chris style.
Yeah, there
probably
are two not. A's in my name. Those could be the I's. Yeah.
So head on over to warbyparker.com/brain and get 3-day expedited shipping.
I've got a fun news headline here for you, Karen, before we get started. Okay. Well, it's for both of you guys, but I think it's going to be of particular interest to you, Karen. this is an Associated Press article dated August 5th. Ohio University to get North America's first pizza ATM. Cincinnati. Customers will soon be able to get pizza from an ATM at one Ohio University. Xavier University has partnered with a French company to install the first pizza ATM. The company says the machine will hold 70 pizzas at once.
Whoa.
Okay. Customers will be able to use a touchscreen to pick one of the $10 pizzas, which will be heated for several minutes, placed in a cardboard box, and ejected through a slot. So I guess they've had these in Europe for like almost 15 years now. But this is the first time they've made it to the States. It says they're usually in small towns, gas stations, or pizzerias, which seems, I don't understand why you would have a pizza ATM. Yeah.
I don't want to talk to people. I just want to
in a pizzeria. I don't know, maybe. So,
is it connected to your bank? What's the difference between an ATM and a vending machine?
My gripe is, isn't this just a pizza vending machine? Why are they calling things an ATM? It's not an automatic telling machine.
I was like, oh, maybe it's because they cook it. But like, they have the coffee machines, and they don't call that a coffee ATM.
You don't call it the Doritos ATM.
That's true. It's not like these are pizzas that you had on credit.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I've got about a dozen pizzas here. Hang on, let me just withdraw. Let me withdraw some pizza.
It sounds like it's like part of the Bank of America thing. It's like, oh, I'd like to make a deposit and get a pizza.
Right. Oh, this one only dispenses four slices at a time. Well, that's okay. All I get.
They keep doing this. They called a cupcake ATM not so long ago. And I went to one in Chicago and I was like, hey, there's someone behind that counter loading up the cupcakes in the box that comes out of the slot.
That's even less of it.
I was like, I can see your hand. This isn't.
What's the difference between like a drive-through window or like a walk-through?
That's a good point. I kind of just unquestioningly read that article.
Call them vending machines. Stop calling them ATMs.
Maybe it's because ATM implies like more high-tech or more speedy. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's faster to say.
Yeah. If you are a student at Xavier or just happen to be in the Cincinnati area and have access to this so-called pizza ATM, please let us know how it is. I'm very curious.
I need to check the my balance in my pizza account, please.
Oh, man, I'm down to one pepperoni.
One pepperoni.
It bounced.
Pizza bounced, guys.
You should join my pizza credit union. It's like they'll prevent you from pizza overdraft. Yeah.
That's my problem. I'll totally pizza overdraft. Man, the other day after catching Pokemon, I went to go have a slice of pizza, and it was like cold, and it was like super foggy, and then it was just this warm hot slice of pizza, and I was like, and I talked to it. I was like, pizza, why are you so good? Pizza's the best. It's the best food. Well, anyways, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot. And you guys have your barnyard buzzers ready. And since Chris is not here, I think we can do two cards.
I have a
random assortment of Trivial Pursuit cards.
When the cat's away, the mice will play.
All right, here we go. Old and new. I got Trivial Pursuit Genus 4 and Trivial Pursuit 1995.
Okay.
I don't know why we can't get any other years.
I think it's just 95. Yeah. I think the whole set is 95.
No, but look, it says 90s.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, then it says 1995.
Maybe somebody only gave us. These were from our donated cards, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's start with the old.
Okay. All right.
Blue Edge for People and Places. What country's Hindi name is Hind?
I think we probably would both guess India.
Yes. It is India.
Hindi.
Yeah. Pink Wedge for Arts and Entertainment. Which Simpsons character doesn't share a name with a member of creator Matt Groening's family?
Does not share a name with a...
Yeah.
Bart.
Correct.
Oh.
Like Bart is his...
The sort of the surrogate for Matt Groening.
Yeah,
because his parents are named Homer and Margaret, right? And he does have a sister named Lisa.
Was it which Simpsons character?
Yeah.
So it's like almost all of them probably. Aren't there hundreds of them?
Right. It's a little ambiguous. Family. Which Simpsons family?
Oh, yeah. I see. Not like the show. Like Mo.
Yeah. Grimeskeeper Willie.
Yeah. All right. Yellow Wedge for History. Who earned $550 million from Drexel Burnham Lambert according to his 1987 tax return?
$550 million.
Okay. No idea who this is.
So it's got to be like
Colin.
Michael Milken.
Oh my God! Yes. Okay. Who is he?
He was like one of these the high risk sort of investment guys who got busted back in the 80s, 90s. But he made millions of dollars just sort of off of insider information. Maybe that's my memory of it anyway. But yeah.
Let's move to Brown for Science and Nature. What slapstick trio topped a National Public Radio poll of suggested names for three new planets found circling the same pulsar?
What three
slapstick trio?
Oh,
Dana.
Is it Larry, Moe, and Curly?
Correct. Yeah.
Hmm. I guess because it's
well, it's suggested names. I don't know if they actually went with it.
Yeah, just because there's three of them.
Yeah. All right. Green Wedge for Sports and Leisure. Who netted an NBA record 72.7 field goal percentage in the 1972-73 season?
Colin.
I know you know, Colin.
I'm going to guess Wilt Chamberlain.
Correct.
Yeah. This is pretty good. Pretty good player.
Pretty good.
You said field goal?
That's what I was confused.
So like, in basketball, the technical name for a shot is a field goal.
Really?
What? As opposed to like a free throw. Right. Yeah.
So your two-pointer or three-pointers are field goals?
It's a field goal attempt or a three-point.
What?
Yeah. That's,
I did
that's
not know that.
Yeah. And like if you look in like the box score for a basketball game after, you know, it'll say like FGA for like field
that's
goal
so
attempts.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Oh. It takes that name from field sports. But yeah, you're right. Field goal, basket, same thing. That's a technical name.
Wow. Yeah, that's why. I was like, misread this question?
Yeah.
What is this?
And by the way, I mean, just as an aside, 72%?
72.7.
Like, that's insanely high. I mean, like, yeah. If you were a player today, like, if you had, like, 49%, you're going to be, like, a star shooter.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, to be able to get.
What do you think Steph Curry's is?
Steph Curry's overall percent is probably mid to high 40s. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good shooter.
Wilt the Stilt. All right, last question on this card. Wild card. What House Speaker told The Economist that smoking marijuana, quote, was a sign we were alive and in graduate school in that era?
Whoa. Oh, House Speaker. So there must have been like
Gingrich.
Somebody. Yeah, maybe Gingrich, although he seems a little uptight.
Yeah.
But
he was around in the 90s.
That's true. That's true. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Let's go with Gingrich. Yeah.
Is that right?
It is right.
Yeah.
It's Newt Gingrich. Woo. All right. Card number two.
That was nice. He probably said that about Bill Clinton. To
right.
Get people off of
okay.
Bill Clinton's
okay.
Cat.
That's a very charitable way
that's
of looking
my
at it.
Guess
yeah.
Of why
let's go
that
with that.
Out. Yeah.
Let's jump into 1995, good old 1995. Here we go.
All right.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. What Pacific Island natives did Britain's Queen Elizabeth apologize to for seizing their lands 132 years earlier? Dana.
Is that the Maori?
Correct. It is yeah. The Maori.
I think they're the only people anybody ever apologized to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were very, very persuasive. They were tough. Very good at fighting.
Yellow Wedge. What search engine did Digital Equipment Corporation develop to manage its old email?
Oh, okay.
Oh, just so name some 90, oh my God!
Alta Vista.
Dana got it. She buzzed in.
Is that what you thought?
I was gonna say, but yeah, you. Oh. That's all right. That's all right. We're on the same track there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just ruling ones out. I mean, like we know it's not Yahoo. We know it's Lycos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hotbot.
I didn't know.
Okay. Hotbot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So wait. So it was developed by DEC to index their internal
old email.
Huh, oh. Okay. All right.
Brown Wedge. What Seinfeld character refused to switch from briefs to boxers, noting my boys need a house? Whoa, Trivial Pursuit. Colin.
That is Kramer.
This is a very Kramer thing to say.
Yeah.
And in the end, he ends up going with neither. Yeah.
So they're homeless.
Yeah.
Okay. Those boys are homeless. Orange Wedge. What hunky model made his TV ad debut hyping, I can't believe it's not butter spray? Dana.
Oh, Fabio.
Correct. Yeah.
Was it the spray or?
Just the spray.
Really?
Maybe the spray at first. Then huh. Migrated onto
to the wider
the product
brand.
Line.
Hmm. Maybe he uses it to stay oiled up. Who knows?
I mean, as a high sheen man.
Speaking of high sheen men.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Tongan?
Yeah. Did you guys see the in the Olympics opening ceremony, the Parade of Nations, the guy representing Tonga?
Yeah.
He was glistening. And then
was he topless?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was in sort of, I guess, traditional style dress.
Yeah.
Right,
style.
Yeah.
And he, smiles at the camera all charmingly and, kind of winks. And everybody's like, oh, my God.
Sorry for the aside there.
Yeah.
Green Wedge, what CNN chief international correspondent was credited with bringing the horrors of the Bosnian conflict to light?
Ooh.
Which?
CNN chief international correspondent.
Christian Amanpour.
God, you're
that
so
was my
good.
Guess. Yeah.
Yep.
She's good.
Yeah.
She's like, really you just good. You're just like, yes, I trust you. Yeah.
Reporting the news.
Yeah.
Last question in this round. What Swedish techno group? Though, you know what? I'm going to make an editorial note. I'm going to scratch out techno. What, what Swedish pop group sold a record 19 million of its debut album, The Sign? Everybody.
Ace of Base.
That year. I guess it's 1995.
95.
Almost every single they released.
They had so many hits off that album.
All That She Wants, The Sign.
Et cetera. It was a good Don't Turn Around.
Yeah, Don't Turn Around.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Whew, all right. We named three.
I was like, wait a minute. That CD has been in my car for like 2 years. I don't ever go to the CD player, but when I do, it's Ace of Base. The Sign is in there.
It's reliable. You know what you're getting. Yeah.
All right. Good job, brains. So, Colin, this week, what are we talking about?
So, as I alluded to just a moment ago, we are currently in the opening week of the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'm always curious each time there's new Olympics. I really am into what is the design of the medals this time. I have to say, I'm kind of a traditionalist. Like, I tend to like the medals that are just simple, you know, maybe it's just all one piece of metal, you know, maybe a simple embossed design. Right. You know, I feel like in recent decades, every now and then some country will, or some host country, they'll do something funky, like it'll be a ring, you know, like with a hole in the middle. Or I think like in Sochi, the Olympics, right, didn't have like a chunk of the meteorite was embedded in
They had
crystal portions in one of them a few years ago.
Okay.
But so this Olympics in Rio, that's just solid, simple, gold plated and silver and bronze medals. You know, no fringe,
The crazy one.
That's totally acceptable. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, like, for me, I'm more of a traditionalist. Medals, gold medals were on my mind. I was thinking gold is just interesting.
Olympic fever, man.
Olympic fever everywhere. But then gold as well. You guys remember, I love that story about the gold Nobel medal being melted down.
Yeah.
So I thought we could just talk about gold and things that are gold and golden and go for the gold. You gotta help me dig deep, go bigger. I bet you find just something bigger. Dig deep, dig deep. And you can't hear, and you can't see it, listeners. You can't hear it either, but you can't see that Karen is sitting here with golden hair right now.
Yeah. I got it all changed.
Golden.
I went in the salon. I was like, make me an iPhone color. Rose gold.
It's rose gold. Yeah.
It is rose gold.
Rose gold.
You're wearing a Golden Bear shirt, too.
Oh, I am.
You are wearing a Golden Bear
shirt. I am. That's right. Totally coincidentally. Yeah. I am wearing a California Golden Bears t-shirt.
Golden hair, golden bear.
Go Bears.
All right, I'll kick us off. I have a gold grab bag quiz for you guys. Assorted musings on gold.
All right.
Assorted shaving, gold shaving.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
And you guys buzz in with your answers, okay?
All right. Let's do it.
All right, we'll start with a classic. In the story of King Midas and the Golden Touch, a king's given the power to turn whatever he touches into gold. And in one version of the story, he ends up dying of starvation because he turns the food that he touches into gold. And then in another version, he washes it off in a river.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I don't know that version. Yeah.
It's the happy version.
So it's more like gold plating as opposed to,
We'll get into it.
Oh, okay.
So this is a Greek myth. That's a little bit of a clue for you guys. What Greek god gave him the gift of the golden touch?
Karen.
Dionysus.
Yes.
Good guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Seems like a very luxurious.
Luxury. Yes.
Yeah,
the gold robot from Futurama.
Yeah.
Hedonism
bot.
So he was given that power because he helped take care of one of Dionysus' friends, a satyr. He saved him. And so he's like, oh, what do you want? He's like, I want everything I touch turns to gold. And then it ended up being a curse. And in one version, he gets the curse removed. And in another, he does not.
Oh.
Yeah. The Golden Girls was not the first show starring Rue McClanahan and Betty White together.
Oh.
What show were they on together?
Huh.
I think it's a variety show.
Oh, you think
so? I just don't know what's it called.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think of just shows that we know Betty White was on, maybe is a better way to go.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, That's as far as my TV knowledge
stops. Early 80s.
Oh, Colin. I was gonna Mary Tyler Moore Show is what no. I was gonna guess, but that's not early 80s.
Karen.
Empty Nest.
No. It is Mama's Family.
Oh, yes, that's right, because they're related.
So wait, who was Betty White on Mama's Family?
She was Mama's, gosh, was it niece or sister?
Okay. Like,
and she was, it's funny, Betty White was the man hungry one and Rue McClanahan was the like more demure one.
Chased.
And so they actually had reversed roles when they first got cast for Golden Girls. Betty White was going to be Blanche.
Oh, really? She's going to be the man eater?
Yeah. And Rue McClanahan was going to be Rose.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can't imagine
Me
that.
Neither.
I cannot imagine that differently. Yeah. Oh, my God. Betty White is the perfect Rose. Yeah.
So the Golden Girls spun off three other sitcoms. There were three spinoffs from the Golden Girls. One was The Golden Palace.
Okay. That's where they, like, bought a hotel.
Yeah.
Right?
And okay. Don Cheadle was in that.
Don Cheadle?
I don't remember that. Wow.
Yeah. Another one was called Nurses.
Okay.
And then what other show?
I think Karen just said it, I think.
Is it Empty Nest?
It was Empty Nest, yes.
He was their neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the neighbor.
It was a doctor.
He was a doctor. And so Nurses kind of came from...
Oh, so Nurses was like a second level?
Yeah.
Wow. Productive show.
A party.
Beautiful. Besides color, what's the difference between golden raisins and regular raisins? Colin.
What?
So in the U.S., golden raisins they're the same raisins, but there's sulfur dioxide in them when they're dehydrating them. They're made from the same raisins.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yes.
They're not green grapes?
No. Both come from like those regular Thompson seedless green grapes.
Exactly.
Wait. The black purple raisins are made from green grapes?
Yes.
Yep. I'm out of here.
Karen's gone.
What?
She just left a little Karen-shaped outline in the wall.
According to the Raisin Council, the oxidation and caramelization of the sugars when they dry out in the sun is what makes them have the natural dark brown black exterior.
Yeah.
But they are the same raisins.
Yeah.
As the golden raisins. The golden raisins are turned really quickly with chemicals and machinery.
Right. But I do know that like in like the UK though, for our UK listeners
all
and
sultanas.
Other they're sultanas, right.
Yeah.
Yeah they are frequent which just naturally dry. It's a different grape. They're not the Thompson seedless. They naturally dry that kind
Clear.
Of light golden color. But
yeah.
But yeah, in the US, that blew my mind too, Karen. I was like, wait, what? They're the same?
They look so different.
How did I live? I'm 34. I can't believe I'd learned about this now.
That's the beauty of trivia.
You just keep learning things.
Just
oh, my
sorts of facts.
Goodness.
The British Gold Coast, Brandenburger Gold Coast, Danish Gold Coast, Dutch Gold Coast, Portuguese Gold Coast, and Swedish Gold Coast are all names for colonies in what African country?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wow, what country has been colonized
like so
many times?
Karen.
Ivory Coast.
Close.
Is that Ghana?
Ghana.
Ah!
So Ghana's next to the Ivory Coast, which is also next to what was once called the Slave Coast.
Oh,
which is
geez.
Another country. So they would just name them after what they exported from
wow.
there.
Wow. Yeah, I knew that Ghana had been a gold coast like before that. I didn't know it had been so many different
so
gold coasts.
So many.
Wow.
All right. What food product was dubbed black gold in New Zealand after the main production factory was shut down for repairs? Karen.
Vegemite?
So close.
Oh, yeah. What?
Marmite.
Marmite.
I didn't know they're different. I mean, like, are they brand names or is it the same stuff?
So I have to be careful here because if you ask a Kiwi... They will, like, cut you. They taste different. Like, Marmite tastes different from Vegemite to them.
Okay.
To them, it tastes different.
All I know is they're different. I've only ever had Vegemite, but I know that they're different.
Yeah, they're different.
So there was a shortage?
So one of the factories kind of broke down, and then there was a run on them in the stores, and they were selling out, and people were like, and they called it Marmageddon. That was another thing they called it.
That's so good. Marmageddon.
You said you've had Vegemite before.
I have had Vegemite before. It just tasted like salty mold.
Yeah, it's like a byproduct from beer, the beer process. It's like yeasty, it's black.
It's salty. I can see it being an acquired taste. Like if I'd been having it every day since I was 5, I might feel differently.
Yeah, and then you care about the difference between the brands.
Yeah, it's true.
It makes a difference. All right. So the Congressional Gold Medal in the U.S. is awarded to persons who've performed an achievement that has an impact on American history and culture that is likely to be recognized as a major achievement in the recipient's field long after the achievement. Like somebody did something.
Legacy.
A legacy thing. Okay. And both the Senate and the Congress have to agree, 2/3 majority before they even think about it. Like wow. Everybody has to agree that what you did was noteworthy.
It's like our knighthood.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, there's a presidential one, and there's like kind of less, maybe fewer hoops to go through to get that one. Still important work, but yeah. So the last group to get the Congressional Gold Medal got it in 2015.
Okay.
There was also a movie in 2014 based on them. Can you guys guess who got...
It's too late for the code talkers,
yeah, I was
right?
thinking Navajo Twin
no.
Talkers.
No, it's too
but
late.
There's a movie in 2014.
Oh, is it...
Colin.
Is it the Tuskegee Airmen?
No.
Too late for that, too, probably.
There was a movie.
Also too late for that. Okay.
The movie was 2014?
Yeah.
Was it a survival or a...
It was a group, and they're American.
SEAL Team 6?
No.
Was it the hostages from Iran?
No.
I don't know.
It was the Selma to Montgomery Marchers.
Selma.
They got a Congressional Medal of Honor for their contribution.
So all those people, do they give a medal to all the people who marched?
So sometimes people get the medal and it has their picture on it. Like a individual's picture will be on it. And it's like, for you, everybody gets their own. And so the Selma Marchers, it's a bunch of little people on there. I don't know. I can't tell.
It's a group award.
Yeah. It's a group award.
Okay.
But yeah, it's weird if it's individual because you need a lot of bodies to march.
Yeah.
Right. If you're just that one person.
It's true. It's true.
Okay. And I'll end it with one more question. This is a presidential question. This is part of our study.
All right. We take our medicine.
Yes. What coin did President Theodore Roosevelt put into circulation and President Franklin Roosevelt remove from circulation?
Ooh. Oh, Karen. Okay.
Karen.
2 cent.
No.
Because there's loonies and toonies.
It was Roosevelt put into circulation and who took out?
And Franklin Roosevelt took it out.
Franklin Roosevelt
Teddy
took
put
it
in.
So it's
Franklin
not the silver
it
dollar. It's, oh, the Buffalo nickel.
Nope. It's... Remember the theme.
Right. Gold.
Oh, the golden dollar.
Is it the Liberty dollar? Is that what it is? What are we missing?
It's the Indian head gold piece.
Oh.
What is that?
So it's out of circulation. It's been out of circulation for a while. But so Theodore Roosevelt had a friend who was a sculptor. And he wanted to, he was like, you know what would be cool? More coins.
I could hook you up.
I know a coin guy. He makes beautiful things. It was really hard to make these coins. And it used gold, and gold became kind of scarce resource during the Depression and wars and stuff like that. And they had like different denominations of it. It's beautiful coin and it's very highly collectible, but, it got pulled out of circulation.
You know what? We need more coins.
That would be cool.
He made it because he was like, oh, you know what else would be awesome is if we could just change the pattern on it without talking to Congress too much. Like we don't need to like go through all the hoopla.
Yeah.
Like, we can just backdoor this process. Yeah. It's fine.
I'm president, yo.
I like that.
Yeah.
The Roosevelt to Roosevelt.
It's cool. That's good job, you guys.
All right, I've got a story for you guys that I had read a long time ago. I don't remember where I first stumbled across it, but I recently re-stumbled across it again. And
I do that a lot.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Wikipedia entries, and it the links are all purple, and I was like, oh, I've seen this.
I think I read this one in a collection of hoaxes that I had years ago.
Oh.
But so we'll get there. I may be tipping my hand a little bit. All right, on the morning. This is all true. So in the morning of May 18th, 1864, okay, mm-hmm. so Civil War era here going on. An Associated Press story ran as the headline, the lead on the New York World and the Journal of Commerce. These are two New York City newspapers.
Big papers back then.
Well, you know, I mean, New York has always been a multiple newspaper town, especially was then. That these papers reported that President Abraham Lincoln had authorized a draft of 400,000 men to join the Union Army fighting the Civil War, and that conscription was to begin immediately. Now, needless to say, this is big news. This is pretty big news. 400,000 men, immediate call up, you know, to go fight this terrible war. Unfortunately, for these two newspapers, this was false.
Oh.
And the New York World and the Journal of Commerce were the only two papers to print this alleged AP story.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
And Lincoln just went bananas. Like, he was pissed. He was, I mean, just like, by Lincoln standards, he was super angry.
A good way to make everybody freak out and not trust you.
Yeah, a good way to make people freak out and not trust you. Absolutely. The government, of course, had issued a statement saying, like, no, there is not an immediate draft of 400,000 men going on. But yeah, people were in an uproar. They're in a tizzy. What's going on? And eventually, the roots of this hoax were discovered. The authorities worked their way back in just a couple of days, arresting Joseph Howard Jr. And Francis Mallison. And these men were respectively the editor of and a reporter for the Brooklyn Eagle newspaper.
What?
They were the masterminds of this hoax, planting this and creating this fake story. And this whole thing was essentially a get-rich-quick scam.
How?
Okay.
How?
All right. What they had anticipated was that news of a huge new draft would cause a lot of turmoil and uncertainty in the markets, meaning the financial markets.
Okay.
Specifically, driving up the cost of gold. And, you know, I mean, we still see this today, in fact. And so what they had done is, prior to this fake story, they went and purchased millions of dollars worth of gold on margin. Meaning they'd only have to pay for it if the gold went down in value.
Whoa, it's like the producers, but with gold.
So, yes, these are the actions of men who have a very high degree of confidence that the price of gold is going to go up. Just a year prior to this, there had been draft riots right there in New York City. So they kind of had an idea that what kind of, you know, effect this news would happen. So they crafted a fake AP story. And they had their, you know, kind of their news runner, courier boy delivery service deliver this fake story to as many of the newspapers as they could. And, you know, and keep in mind, there's a lot of papers, right?
Yeah.
So deliver this to as many papers as they could. But here's the rub. They'd planned the story, deliver it as late as they possibly could before the printing deadline.
So it would minimize
the chance that someone's going to verify it, going to maybe double check it. It's so devious.
Like, oh, it's just, we got to get it out.
Yep, got to get it out. And sure enough, it's like, it's a big story, comes in right at the deadline. Like, what do you do if you're, you
like,
know,
stop
and
the presses.
Right. And, you know, sure enough, at those two papers, their news editors had already left for the night.
Yep.
So it was basically just up to the foreman running the presses, like, man, do we go with the story? Do we not? They went with the story. Unfortunately for them, this is one of those stories that could really only happen at a specific point in time.
Yeah.
Like today, you'd check Twitter or you'd call your friend at the AP and like, hey, is this real? And you would figure it out. So two things. So one, exactly as Howard and Mallison had planned, the price of gold shot up. And they sold their investments and they cleaned house. They made a ton of money.
So they won.
They made a ton of money. Well, so they won for a day until the authorities basically tracked them down. So back up a little bit. As I say, when the story hit, Lincoln was super mad. He was really upset about this. So he ordered both of the...
Yeah, what could he do?
He could do a lot as president.
Yeah.
He ordered both of the newspapers shut down immediately. He had the owners thrown in jail. He had the editors of the papers thrown in jail.
Oh, no.
By this time,
for treason,
Howard and Mallison.
It's like the foremans did it too. The foremen were the ones who did it. The editors didn't even know. They didn't have telephones, did they?
They certainly had wire services, but he's thinking that they at least had the power. And at this time, of course, when they had arrested Howard and Mallison, he had them thrown in jail. Everyone's in jail.
Those guys should go to jail.
Yeah, those guys should be in jail.
They battle it out.
There was a fair amount of public outcry over the newspaper guys being thrown in jail because they're like, look, we can show you this fake story that we got. Yes, we screwed up, but it was an honest mistake. We don't deserve to be in jail. It's these fraudsters. Yeah, we're not the ones trying to jack up the price of gold by it's not us.
Who became a millionaire yesterday? It wasn't me.
Right. I wish.
Yeah. So they Lincoln basically relented and had he had the newspaper guys released. Oh, he allowed them to resume operations. But Howard and Mallison stayed in jail. Honestly, they got off pretty light, I have to say. They were in jail for just 3 months. It was 3 months. That was it.
And then what about their money?
Well, they had to make restitution, I think, on some of it. It's unclear as to what all their gains were. It's, the laws around, insider trading weren't really as robust as they are today.
It feels like treason.
Whoa.
Almost.
Yeah, I would say treason.
It sounds like they were let out of jail, at least in part, because of some powerful friends. Basically, Lincoln, hey, come on. Yeah, exactly. Of course, because of powerful friends. So, in partly that, and partly for maybe another reason, which I'll get to here in a second. So, right. So they cleared it up. I'm sure that all of the newspapers put in, better protocols at that point. I mean, kudos to the other newspapers that didn't run with it, that either it was too fishy for them or maybe they just got there too late. But, good on them for not being baited by this fake story. All right. So can you guys guess the sad, funny, ironic twist, such as it is, to this whole story?
Sad, funny, ironic twist.
They got drafted.
That would be even better.
It sounded old, though.
Close. No, the twist was that shortly after this whole kerfuffle, Lincoln did, in fact, authorize a draft for several hundred thousand new soldiers to join the army and go fight.
Oh, no. That makes even more sense why he was upset that it got
He's like, my
leaked
plan.
Like that.
Yep. It's true. There are some people who kind of theorize that, maybe he was going to do it earlier and got an idea of how much this was going to be an outroar and delayed it a little bit.
Yeah.
And perhaps, maybe that's a reason why he let them out of jail after 3 months, because he'd look maybe a little hypocritical.
Weird.
So, that's a long way to go to drive up the price of gold, and fairly selfish and a little dangerous.
But it works.
It did work. That's
the crazy thing. It worked.
They must have been just mad with glee, just high-fiving each other. Like, they did it, they ran it. And I have to say, they're smart in not running it themselves in their own newspaper, because that would look even
fishier.
Yeah, it might have taken them one day to catch them instead of 2 days. Yeah, so this is called the Civil War Gold Hoax, if you're curious and reading more about it.
All right, let's take a quick break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello. It is I, Ponbot 3000. I like puns, and I like Warby Parker. So I have embedded puns in the following Warby Parker message. It is time to be spectacular. Put a lid on fussy glasses shopping. True efficiency can be found at Warby Parker. They have a cornucopia of smart styles. Iris, I had multiple head modules so I can wear all of them, even though I am an android and have perfect vision. Anyways, head over to warbyparker.com/brain, and with free expedited shipping, they won't arrive a day late. Can you believe it?
And this episode is also brought to you by Harry's, the online purveyor and store destination for awesome shaving kits, razors, and gels, and creams for all of your shaving needs. And I'm actually in the middle this week packing for my big Alaska trip. I'm running the Moose's Tooth Marathon in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm also going to hang out with some Iditarod sled dogs. I'm really, really, really pumped. And of course, I have to shave before my race, as I've mentioned a lot of times before. And what I realize, what is really great, is the Harry's shaving kit. Quality blades, quality handle, especially with the new grippy handle. It's just a great way to travel. Usually what I do is I have to go to the drugstore locally and buy a 3-pack of disposable razors when I really just need one. But this system has actually been really working for me for the past couple of trips. So I really love the Harry's shaving kit. And of course, you can use the promo code BRAIN at harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and get $5 off your first purchase. we're back. You're listening. Good job, Ray. And this week, we're talking about things that are gold. So my first pet that I ever had was a goldfish.
Oh.
Okay.
And his name was Reddy. Actually, its name was Reddy because I don't know if Reddy was a girl or a boy. Okay. Reddy's like, a tough fish.
Reddy the color?
Yeah.
Or, okay, not I mean, like Reddy for action.
No, yeah.
Okay.
When you're a kid, you're like, I'm going to name this from the color it is.
He's so, red. Your name is Reddy.
Reddy yeah. Goldfish.
And so I got... I'll just say him. Spiritually, it feels like a boy.
Okay.
Okay.
You look very masculine.
Sure.
I got mad like a school fair. I don't think it's the Scoopy goldfish thing, but somehow
at like a little like a booth or something.
Yeah.
Or,
okay. It wasn't a Scoopy game, but it was another game where you had to like somehow get the fish.
That's a pretty common prize.
Yeah. I got it home and then I didn't know anything about fish. I put them in like an aluminum bowl with water in it and that was it. And I went to school the next day and came back and I was like, oh no, the fish is gone from the bowl. What happened? And I was like minding my own business. And then my dad came home. I was like, Dad, what happened to my fish? My fish is gone. I was like, I didn't touch it. And then we realized Reddy jumped out of the bowl and was underneath the couch this whole time.
Oh my God.
And was still alive.
What? Just like flipping and flopping around.
No, just
laying there.
Just laying there.
I could not believe it. Yeah.
A gymnast fish.
And that fish just lived for a really long time.
How long are we talking? Like
hours.
Oh my God.
I don't know how. Wow. I don't know what happened or
you
what
got like super fish.
Yeah.
Super
fish. Reddy lived a long time. It was just a tough fish. Then it's like, oh, we got to get him a real tank. And then my parents
and got, a fence, apparently.
My parents really got into it. And then it's like, oh, we got to get plants and the stone. Oh, there's an aquarium store nearby. Well, let's get some more fish. And then it just became a thing.
Okay.
Right?
Now you guys are fish people.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden we have an aquarium and Reddy has a lot of friends. Anyways, so I want to talk about goldfish.
Okay.
Goldfish. They seem so simple, but they're a lot more complex.
All right.
More to meets the eye.
Okay.
Like Transformers. Goldfish originate from China.
Okay. Okay.
Well, it kind of makes sense. You have something
I mean,
like
they're
koi.
They're related to koi, right?
Related.
Okay.
That's all within the carp family.
Okay.
So from China, the proto goldfish was a type of it's called Asian carp.
Okay.
And it's kind of a boring, drab, gray, carpish, koi-ish type of fish. And people kept them, not as pets, but for food.
Okay.
Oh, really?
You keep them in tanks at home.
How big were they?
They range.
Okay.
Around koi
I mean,
because
like, there's some meat on a koi.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
I could...
like around koi size, maybe smaller.
Okay.
But we're talking about like old China. And once it was the most common fish eaten in China because it's just like in homes and you breed them and you have them for food. That's just your food source. And because of weird genetic mutation, once in a while, the boring gray Asian carp will spawn a colorful fish and it's a genetic mutation.
Neat.
It's bright orange or bright red or bright yellow colors. And so now without human involvement at all, if these fish were in the wild, those colorful fish are the ones to die first, right?
Because they stand out to predators.
Yes, because the predators can be like, wow, look at that big red thing in the middle of all this gray thing.
He's like, no, didn't you read it means I'm poisonous? Stay away. Yeah.
Genetic mutation.
Yeah.
So it was actually recorded. I mean, obviously, it was probably noticed years and years before, or dozens of years, but recorded in China in 300 AD that these colorful mutations started happening.
Huh. Okay.
And so, well, because the fish were popping out of the fish tanks, you know, people like started releasing the colorful ones into ponds to keep them. You know, it was a very Buddhist mentality to like kind of, you know, spare one life. And so there's people still ate the gray ones, but you know, the rare colorful ones, they put in a pond or whatever. So why goldfish? Like, we say goldfish, but like in my mind, my first thought is Reddy, who's red.
Yeah.
Or I think of like the white and orange spotty with the bubble brain and the eyes.
You know, I mean, like, I don't know about you, Dana. Like, for me as a kid, I always just made sense of like, well, they shimmer. They shimmer like gold. That's how I made sense of it. I don't know. What
I think
about
most
you?
Of the ones I saw were golden color.
Like orangey.
Yeah,
orangey.
Oh, okay. It was so just close just
like,
enough
I was
for
like,
you.
Oh, okay, goldfish. Sure.
Okay, okay.
And sometimes there's white ones, and those are the weird ones. Sometimes
and there's like all black ones, and there's like panda ones.
Yeah.
Not panda colored. The ones that are part panda. Yeah, the ones that are part panda.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, make that happen, great. Science.
Yeah, come on, science.
Goldfish, literally, in Chinese, goldfish. It is, you know, just goldfish. Okay. That's what it is. And this is because in 1162, the empress of the Song Dynasty in China, you know, when she was in charge, citizens who are not royalty or of the royal family are forbidden to keep any of these bright colored fish if they're yellow. Yellow is the imperial color.
Okay. Separate from orange.
Separate from orange. Separate from red.
Okay.
So the normal household, you can keep red and orange, but you are not allowed to keep yellow because that's for the royal family.
Oh.
Yellow's tied to the color gold.
Did they have to like give it to them or they just had to eat that one? You have to eat
maybe both, or they just kill it. I don't know.
There's probably some anti-imperialist families like, yeah, we're eating this one.
Yeah, the yellow one.
Since the gold yellow varieties were not okay, and since there are way more people in China who are not part of the royal family, we end up with more orange and red fish. It still happens, but you don't see yellow as often.
But that was where the namesake was the gold, the yellow fish.
That's the most prized one.
That makes sense.
People used to have ponds, and by the 1500s, people realized that they can put fish in bowls. and that's more affordable. I don't have to carve out a part of my backyard and make a pond and release the fish and then maybe have something else eat the fish.
Well, now, I mean, it's not just bowls, but it's like a fancy bowl.
Yeah,
it's better if you can look through it too, right? Yeah.
Right now, fish bowls are considered animal cruelty or not nice to the animal.
I can see that.
Because it stunts their growth.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you have a fish bowl with like the tank that shoots like oxygenates water, or there's algae in it, you know, but just your classic, just that glass bowl,
that like Far Side cartoon.
Yeah. It's actually not nice to the fish. In a lot of countries, it's not legal to have your fish. In the 1500s is when people started breeding different, even more mutations and even crazier goldfish and just breeding. That's why we have like the bubble brains and what they call telescope eyes. Where their eyeballs are like so kind of far apart.
Yeah.
Their tails are longer and fancier.
I did not realize it was the result of just breeding, basically.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Now there's so many varieties. A lot of time has passed. It's so far from what the original carp.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were going to like eat them, it would take a good dozen or so.
They're tiny now.
So the thing about the tanks stunting the growth, have you heard about the goldfish in Lake Tahoe?
No.
Like people would go to Tahoe and they'd have fish as pets over like the holiday during summer, and they put it in the lake.
Right, I've heard this.
And I've looked it up because I told somebody this and they were like, no. And then we found the articles and yes, the goldfish become massive.
Yeah.
They'll grow to as big as they can, right? They get really big. Really, really big. You guys should Google it. I don't know the exact weight, but it's like,
that's great.
A woman has to hold it with two arms, like a bigger than a baby.
It's like,
we'll
I'm living in your bathtub now.
It's like a toddler size.
toddler goldfish.
Yeah.
And goldfish are invasive species.
Yeah.
They are invasive species.
A lot of carp in general, right, are pretty aggressive, I think.
So you might see a goldfish and you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's a pretty fish. It's a fat fish, like a fat show fish. Goldfish are...
Who's that fish think it is?
Goldfish are way more advanced than we give them credit for.
Oh.
So first of all, goldfish eyes. You might associate like mice or rats as like lab animals, but goldfish are a popular lab animal, specifically in the field of visual perception and cognition.
Really?
And this is from the BBC. Goldfish, they can perceive the same colors as humans can.
Oh, really?
Not even all primates can do that.
Yeah.
Goldfish, making them an ideal study animal to study vision and color.
Interesting.
And the scary part is baby goldfish, just like baby humans, they have trouble seeing the color blue when they're young. And then it gets better as they age. humans do that too.
Weird.
Their color sensors are analogous to human color sensors.
Interesting.
How weird is that?
Yeah, I would not
it's
have
so
guessed
far
that,
from the spectrum.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems like it would be so rudimentary compared to our field of vision. Yeah,
I wonder why they need to be able. Well, maybe because there's so many colors of goldfish.
They got like. I think fish in general have pretty good eyesight in terms of color, but goldfish have like abnormally.
A human
they just really can see wow. and process. Not only that, process that information. Goldfish are super smart, and you can train them
right.
do tricks.
So I am pretty sure, and you'll correct me, right? It's not true, the whole thing about goldfish memory is only like 30 seconds, right?
No. They are not Dory.
Yeah.
Their memory, they can remember up to, according to a science report, 3 months.
Wow. Okay.
And they can, but they can relearn that information.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So,
you know, on the end of your 3 months, you do the thing again, it's going to have another
yeah,
thing.
You're right.
Constantly do it. It's, yeah.
They have really strong learning abilities for themselves and for their school or for their goldfish buddies. And because of their good vision, they're able to identify individual humans.
What?
Oh, really?
So if your family have a goldfish tank, they're gonna be
really?
Super nice and cute to
it
the
knows,
one that gives you food.
It knows which one of you jerks is tapping on the bowl.
Yeah.
It knows, yeah.
And it knows when to beg for food according to the person and
wow.
the shape that they can. Yeah,
they're
you
like
can really
crows.
Treat,
that's
you, you
wow.
can treat them and they shape sounds. They can remember that. This little plump thing can do all that. They can perform tricks. And going back to the invasive species thing, BBC also said, so in 2001, a study found that they introduced like a goldfish to a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And the goldfish, which are not carnivorous, they eat the pellets or you know, grassy stuff, algae stuff. They started eating the eggs and larvae of the long-toed salamander. They normally don't eat eggs, but if they see other fish feeding on them,
like
then they know
protective thing.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
food.
Yeah.
So they'll learn, oh, we better eat that. If one goldfish gets it, figures it out, if
then
one goldfish sees and figures
them.
It out, then sooner or later, all the other goldfish will start eating the eggs.
Omnivorous.
And also, sometimes they're used to fight against mosquito illnesses that
blood
diseases.
In the breeding grounds, they'll eat the...
Yeah, so like stagnant water, you know, West Nile virus, they'll release some goldfish and they'll eat the mosquito larva. However, this is bad, you know, just like the Lake Tahoe thing. You know, you don't want to set the goldfish...
Then you get a massive goldfish.
Isn't that crazy?
I really had no idea they were that advanced or had that, no pun intended, colorful a history.
One last thing.
Okay.
One last thing. So goldfish in the labs are also used to understand alcohol. Alcohol effects on the brain and the body. And that's because the concentration of alcohol in their blood system is almost the same as the alcoholic content in the water they're swimming in.
Okay.
So it's really easy to test behavior.
To get them drunk.
They make the solution and have them swim in it. They're not swimming in like pure vodka, you know,
okay.
but they would make a solution and they would record behavioral traits and stuff. And
party tank!
According to a 1969 research, turns out fish swimming in a bourbon solution are more impaired than those splashing around in vodka.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a darker liquid, you know.
That's what they say.
And they need some little goggles. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Some goldfish.
Oh.
Gold.
I'm impressed, man. I mean, they got good memory, you know, good eyesight. They're swimming in bourbon.
Now I just
like,
want to train goldfish.
Seriously.
I wonder how you train them. Like, what do you have to do?
So you just keep repeating. So they're really good at positive reinforcement.
Okay.
So some people can train to, like, if you put your hand, they'll, like, come up to your hand and eat off of your hand.
Yeah.
Maybe you, I don't know. I gotta YouTube this. Maybe they can spin. I don't know. But they recognize you. And if you keep doing, you know.
You're like, oh, you get the best food if you do this.
Yeah.
We got one last nugget of gold.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Why do you have to call out my puns, Carl?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were doing here. Yeah, I'll close this out here. I've got a little very short grab bag quiz for you guys.
Oh my God. That's the goldfish.
Dana has just brought up a photo of a goldfish that a person using two hands to hold this thing. It looks like the size of an infant.
The USDA had a
wow.
Get them.
There's
out
so
of
many
Tahoe.
Other fish. In Tahoe.
I can't top an infant-sized goldfish in terms of just pure spectacle.
That's bigger than infant size.
That's a toddler. That's a 2-year-old. Yeah,
that's my pig.
I surely can't top pig-sized goldfish in terms of pure spectacle. But what I do have for you guys is a grab bag quiz about gold, the substance itself, the thing. All right. Get your buzzers ready.
All right.
What is the difference specifically between 18 karat gold and 24 karat gold? Karen.
One has less gold.
Okay. Okay. You're halfway there. Yes.
It's like
the 18 karat. Yeah. And now what do you mean by yeah?
It's mixed with something else.
Purity, you think?
No, it's like I thought the measurement is like how much it's mixed with. I don't know what's it mixed with.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Dana,
you want to elaborate, or are you? I mean, we're like halfway there. Yeah, it's less gold. That's right. The 18 karat gold has less gold by mass, pure gold.
Okay.
So what it is basically it's a percentage scale. It's a very old timey percentage scale. Not used that much anymore. To the extent that it's used at all,
only
in the U.S. and the U.K. Yeah, okay. It's out of 24 possible units. So 18 karat gold is 75% pure gold by mass. Not by volume, by mass.
That's a lot of math. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, so you don't tend to typically
see... So 12 is 50%.
Right, so 12 karat gold. And that's karat with a K, by the way. Not to be confused with karat with a C, which you use for, like, gemstones.
Diamonds, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a measurement of how pure is the gold by mass. Of how fine, how fineness, it's a measure of fineness, how fine is the gold.
Okay.
Yeah. So 24 karat gold.
So what's the other stuff it's mixed with?
You know, I mean, it can be a lot of different alloys, you know,
it's not one specific thing.
It's not one specific thing, right? There's a variety of things that it could be alloyed with. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so 24 karat gold technically is 100% pure gold by mass, but in practice, that's actually really hard to get. So in practice, what we call 24 karat gold is accepted to be 999/1,000th percentage pure, or you know, per thousandth pure gold.
Okay.
Right.
We'll round up.
Yeah, we'll round up. We'll give them the benefit of a doubt. What is the primary claim to fame of Sutter's Mill, California? Karen.
Home of the gold rush.
That is indeed correct.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yep. Sutter's
I
Mill.
I thought it was Eureka, but.
Sutter's Mill. Yeah. It was a sawmill, owned by John Sutter. And it was on the South Fork of the American River, not too far from here. Yeah. Just a little bit east of Sacramento.
There.
That's right. In Coloma, California. And that was where gold was first discovered in California and kicked off the gold rush. In 1848. And that is what triggered the rush of the 49ers. That is why our football team is named the 49ers.
People did find a lot of gold, right?
People found so much gold. So in 1848, right before the discovery of gold in California, the population of California was like 20,000 people.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty sparse.
Yeah.
In 4 years... 4 years after the discovery of gold, the population was 225,000 people.
10 times.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, millions of dollars of gold extracted. Yeah, millions of dollars
of gold. But once it's gone, right?
I mean, once it's ultimately gone, yeah. It's gone, like when you find certain mother lodes. I went years ago when I was a kid, I went panning for gold with a family friend, actually. I mean, it was like just like a novelty thing. Yeah, like we weren't like, oh, we're going to strike it rich and quit our jobs as, you know, elementary school kids. It was like a weekend thing. And like we got the little gold pans and the family friend, he taught us how to do it. And, at the end of the day, I think one of like the six of us found one. It was like the tiniest little – it was like – I mean, to call it a flake even overstated like how big it was. Grain, it was like a sand grain at best. Yeah.
We did that in fourth grade to go panning. I wasn't the lucky winner. I think somebody else found the sand grain. I wonder if fourth graders still do it. I don't know. It was a long time
ago. I think – it probably depends on how close you live to – what makes white gold – white. Dana.
It's an alloy mixed with something else.
Yeah. Like that's
palladium
right.
Palladium or something.
It's the addition of a white colored alloy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not platinum.
Not you wouldn't typically mix platinum with the gold to make it, because platinum is so precious on its own. But nickel is common. Sometimes silver. It will be. You can make it with a little bit of silver or zinc even. But that's right. Yeah. It's just, pure quote gold mixed with a white colored alloy to make it a little bit lighter. And usually, I was reading, white gold, not just white gold. They'll do this with silver too, but white gold will be coated in, rhodium, which is another precious metal, expensive precious metal, but it's especially hard and durable.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of makes the white gold ring just a little more durable. Yeah.
Oh, do you know if it's from
Rhodia?
No, former Rhodesia?
No, it takes its name, I guess, originally because when it was discovered or first identified, it was dissolved in aqua regia. And the precipitate was kind of like a rose gold color. So reddish, like road, like reddish. Yeah.
Got it.
Not unlike Karen's hair. For instance. All right, last question. Gold, of course, is a very dense. It is a dense element. But is it the most dense? ? No, I'll tell you, it's not the most dense.
Yeah, no.
But put these elements in order of density. You guys can each guess if you want. All right. So
right
get out
the whiteboard.
Get out your writing implement. And you are going to put these elements into order of density from least dense to most dense, okay?
Okay.
All right. Lead, gold, tungsten. I'll also accept wolfram.
Okay.
platinum. Lead, gold, tungsten, platinum.
From least
dense to most dense. And you guys can work on this one together if you like. Karen's up at the whiteboard here, deep in thought. It's got the access from D to LD.
I have a guess.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
This is like out of nowhere. This is totally just a stab in the dark.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
I go tungsten, gold, lead, platinum.
So tungsten.
I've guessed.
Okay, Karen, what's your guess?
Platinum, tungsten, lead, gold.
Platinum, tungsten, lead, gold. Gold being the most dense of those. Okay. All right. No, neither of you is correct.
Yeah.
I actually gave them to you in their order.
Oh,
yeah, okay. A little bit of a trick there. Yes, that is – lead is less dense than gold, which is less dense than tungsten. Gold and tungsten are very, very similar in density.
Okay.
They're almost the same. And then platinum, in fact, is more dense than all of those up there. I mean, like we associate lead with kind of being really heavy and gold.
I think about a pencil.
We don't often have that much of a chunk of platinum in our hands to feel it. Yeah. Platinum, in fact, is almost the densest sort of natural element.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the ones that are either theoretical or created in a lab for, a femtosecond or something like that.
Yeah.
Only iridium and osmium of sort of the natural everyday household elements are denser than platinum. Gold is, it's dense. It's dense, but it's not the densest.
Tungsten and platinum.
Tungsten and platinum bringing it. All right. You guys pass with a gold star.
Yay!
For both
Thank
of you.
You. For participation.
Yeah. No. Two gold stars. You can fight over the second one.
Wait, we each get one.
Yeah. That's how it works. Cool. All right. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. You hope you learn a lot of stuff about gold, about my baby Reddy, about raisins,
yeah.
About Civil War gold hoax, and more. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.